Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Section 10 podcast. Here are your hosts, Jared Carabas, Coley Mick, and Steve Perrault.
What's up and welcome back to the Section 10 podcast, episode 332, presented by Barstool Sports. It is the home of your completely exonerated 2018 World Series champion, Boston Red Sox. My name is Jared Carabas, and I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that. But a boom, realest guys in the room. Steve, how you doing?
What up? What up? Section 10 in the building.
The motherfucking building, presented by Coors Light.
Suck one.
I got a question for you, Steve. Yeah, answer it honestly. Answer the question honestly. Will you answer
coffee,
it honestly?
Coffee ice cream. It's always been coffee ice cream since I was young.
I had coffee ice cream last night.
Nice. What's the question?
Yeah. Are you going to answer it seriously, though?
Eh, depends what the question is.
Yeah. No. I need to know if this is going to be a genuine answer. Yes or no?
Yeah. Yes.
That doesn't sound confident at all.
I absolutely will answer this honestly.
Okay. All right. Here's the question. Are you more excited for baseball season to be coming back, or are you more excited for the Red Sox to be coming back?
Wow. I didn't know we were going to start the show with such a brain buster here. Yeah. I am more excited for, geez, I feel like I should have a quick answer here. This is harder than it should be.
Right.
Because it's like baseball's back. I'm more excited for the Red Sox to be back just because of what that means, not only for this show, but for our sanity. Wait, what about you?
I don't know. I don't know.
The fact that it took me a little while to answer that question is probably not good.
I mean, it's not good. I think we're all kind of in the same boat here where we recognize the Red Sox are not great. You know?
What do you think the slogan's going to be this year? What's the slogan?
The slogan this year is going to be like, "Nah."
You know? Putting that on the shirts. I've been watching, like, Nesson's been showing a lot of the 2018 season.
Yeah.
And all the you know, damage done stuff and, like, do damage. And, like, that phrase was perfect, especially playing off the Yankees thing. If this year's is just, all right.
The 2020 slogan is just going to be like, now what the fuck you going to do? Chris Sale's out for the year. You traded Mookie Betts and David Price. Like, what the fuck you going to do?
Granted, isn't there a little bit of why not us? Isn't there, just because of the 60 game thing and because of like Eovaldi?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that. Like, by no means am I saying the Red Sox are not going to make the playoffs. Like, I think they can make the playoffs. And then if you get in, you get hot. Who knows what could happen? I'm not saying there's a 0% chance of anything. I'm just saying, like, yeah, what the fuck, you know?
That's all I'm saying
is like, shit.
It's going to be interesting, honestly. It's going to be interesting to see, like, once they actually get into the clubhouse, which is today, they are taking their coronavirus test today and then workouts start on Friday. I think these guys are just going to be excited to be doing baseball things, but it's also going to be very strange when you're constantly looking over your shoulder, like, do you have the virus? Do you? I know they're all testing and whatnot, but it's going to be awkward, especially in an empty stadium. But why not us?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's and so I'm looking down the roster and I'm just being like, right. And so, you know,
that's funny that you mentioned that because I wanted to play a game with you, Steve.
Yeah.
It's called Have You Ever Heard of This Guy Before?
Wait, this is a great game. You just come up with this?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, let's play.
All right, so here's the Red Sox 60-man player pool. We're going to play a quick little game called Have You Ever Heard of This Guy Before? All right, you ready?
I am so ready. I'm gonna put some game music in here. All right.
Okay. Matt Barnes.
Yes.
Ryan Brazier.
Yeah.
Colton Brewer.
Yeah.
Austin Bryce.
No chance.
Nope. Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah.
Heath Embry.
Yeah.
Robinson Lair.
No chance.
No. Chris Mazza.
Yeah, Big Maz.
Big Maz. I mean, Yeah. Colin McHugh, that guy, dude. That dude sucks.
It's your favorite.
Yeah. Mikey Showers.
He follows the show.
Right. Domingo Tapia.
That's my guy. That's my guy. That I remember when he was playing baseball, and I was like, yes.
Yep. Domingo Tapia. Philip Valdez. Philip Valdez.
Valdez is a no. I don't know him like DT.
Yeah. Matt Hall.
Hard pass.
Kyle Hart.
Also a hard pass.
Mm-hmm. Brian Johnson is the producer of the show.
Yeah, BJ. Yeah.
Yep. You've heard of him. Martin Perez, of course. Who could forget?
Yep, Mal de Prada.
Mm-hmm. Josh Osage.
I actually have heard that name.
You have?
I think I actually have.
Mm-hmm. You don't know for sure.
No, not 100%.
Eduardo Rodriguez, of course.
Yeah, of course. 19 wins.
Jeffrey Springs.
I love Jay Springs.
Yeah. What else do we got here? Connor Wong.
Yeah, Connor Wong. Yeah, part of the trade.
Yeah. Very good. That's good. Kevin Pulwecki. By the way, Pulwecki is a guy that we have to get over.
Weck dog.
We got to get Pulwecki on the podcast at some point. I was talking to some of the dudes from the Indians, and they were like, he does... Like how Dave does pizza reviews, Pulwecki does like cookie reviews.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got to get in on the mix with that. Then the roster, like congrats to Bobby Dalbec. He's on the roster here. I think that we'll probably see him at some point. Zue Lin, Mitch Moreland, Marco Hernandez, Rafael Devers, Michael Chavis, CJ Chatham. We know who he is. Xander Bogaerts. And then you've got Yairo Munoz.
Yeah, he throws the Yairo ball, and no one can hit that thing.
Yeah, no. Yeah, he's an infielder, but yeah.
Well, he throws it to first. Like he throws it so fast, they're like Yairo right. ball.
Yeah. John Andrioli.
Pass.
You haven't heard of him?
Have I heard of him?
Yeah. Have you?
Have I?
John and Andrioli?
Have you?
No.
Okay. Pass.
Benintendi, Bradley, JD Martinez, Kevin Pillar. Everyone forgets Kevin Pillar's on the Red Sox now. And then Cesar Puello. You know who he is?
Yeah, CP.
Yeah. Big CP. CP in the building, and then don't forget Alex Verdugo.
Yeah, Alex Big Doogie. Verdugo, yeah, I was supporting not the trade, but that I've been Team Verdugo talent wise, even though everyone flipped out over that story the second that he came here. But I'm actually excited to see Verdugo play, especially because he was going to miss the start of the season. Now he should be good to go. So I actually am excited to watch player on Red Sox play. That will be fun to see.
Yeah. I am too. I think Verdugo will be good here, and it's also a good thing that the start of the season was delayed, because if it wasn't, then he would have started the season on the. I mean, you're already the guy that got traded for Mookie Betts, and then you come in.
Don't have him live up. He doesn't have to live up to the Mookie stuff. But and I was still saying DL. By the way, I think I'm just going to always say DL.
Yeah, you can. Who was the guy? Like, the DB.
Who was the guy? Yeah, that's true. You know, who's the guy or girl that was like, how is Major League Baseball going to keep going on with this disabled list? That is disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. The DL got canceled in a world where everyone's trying to cancel everybody. It's crazy. Go ahead and cancel the fucking disabled list. I mean, it's.
Can we just give a moment to honor the disabled list, just because it's been around for so long, and it always did its job. Like, there was never a time where the DL, like, wasn't there or wasn't, like, ready to accept another injured player. So, shout out Disabled List. You were there for, you know, all the tough stuff. You were there. You were really there through the tough stuff. Like mm-hmm. always, it was always tough.
Mm-hmm. Name one thing that was more consistent in your life than the disabled list.
Nothing. And something that went through more shit than the disabled list.
Right. So I mean, the disabled list has seen some shit.
Yeah. Seen literally like all the shit.
Yeah. So.
So moment of silence. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks. All right. So the disabled list is gone. So that was the first ever rendition of Have You Ever Heard of This Guy Before? And how do you think you did?
I think I did all right. There's a lot of those guys on there that I definitely know, And yeah. You know, that's what makes me a baseball guy, that I know right. all the those guys. How would you have done?
Oh, I knew all those guys.
Obviously. Again, yeah. We do this for like a living, right? Yeah. Like we need to know these guys. And they listen to the show and they love the show.
Yeah, and like people listen to the show because like they might not have the time to like know all the guys, so like we know the guys so that they can know the guys.
Yep. Yairo, you know what I mean? and the bunch. Yairo and bunch.
Yeah, Yairo, I can't wait till Big Yaya gets called up, because that dude he scoops him.
One of the best to ever do it, really.
Yeah. Yeah, no one.
Also, wait.
Like,
speaking
yeah,
of one of the best to ever do it. Speaking of one of the best to ever do it, because I really do want to get into this interview. Unless you did, you have something before our big interview here?
No, just Domingo Tapia.
Well, DT.
Mm-hmm. We have Aaron Baines.
We do have Aaron Baines on the show, Jared. This interview is brought to you by Coors Light. It is without a doubt that summer will look a bit different this year. Festivals, weddings, and just brunching with friends all seem like things of the past. But just because our plans might change doesn't mean our summer is canceled. Summer is still out there. We'll just have to work a little bit harder to make our summer moments happen. And Coors Light wants to be right there with you by making it easier to chill this summer, starting with its new Chill Summer can featuring sunglasses that turn blue when the beer is cold and ready to drink. I love those cans, by the way. I don't know if you've seen those cans. Those are some nice cans. This summer is going to be unlike any other. And while some of our favorite events might be postponed, summer certainly isn't. Social distancing is pressure paused. This is the worst ad read I've ever done. Social distancing has pressed pause on many of our typical plans and left us feeling like summer is postponed too, but it's not. Summer is still out there. You'll just have to work a little bit harder to find it. That's why Coors Light is the one, the beer that we choose when we need a moment to chill. So when you want to reset this summer, reach for the beer that's made to chill. You can have Coors Light delivered by going to get.coorslight.com and finding local delivery options near you. Coors Light, celebrate responsibly.
And also suck one.
Also suck one.
Yeah. We have Aaron Baines on the show.
That we do. And it's a very good interview.
It's a very good interview. It's a funny interview. It's an interesting interview. It is SoGo. I mean, I know that today we're recording July 1st. It is the first day that players are reporting to summer camp. I got some takes on that when we get back. You know what? I'm going to save that. I'm going to save that, and we're going to
save it.
Yeah, I'm going to save it. Aaron Baines, and then I got some takes. So here's an episode of SoGo.
Baines, little show and go. Rubio swings it out to the open shooter. Baines connects on the triple. Aaron Baines finding the three-point range early. Baines with a step back three. Look out, big man. Book finds the open lane, kicks it. Corner three on the way for Baines. Who goes boom? Rubio whips a pass, feeding Baines. Straight away three. Pass it in. Baines, he's just doing a little bit of everything tonight. Booker on the drive, kicks it. Corner three on the way from Baines. Why not?
All right, we're here with the legend. You're a cult hero these days. Not even these days, for years now. It's the one and only Aaron Baines. All of Australia. How you doing, big fella?
I'm doing well, mate. Thanks for asking.
First and foremost, is everyone happy and healthy these days?
Happy and healthy. I mean, a couple teammates aren't, but I know you guys have seen that, but within my household, so far, everyone's good. You know, it's one of those things is a bit worrying for us with a couple of young kids, and then my wife's also pregnant. So we're doing all we can to avoid it.
So are you weighing the options?
Foresight. Horrible foresight. Took away my drinking buddy, took away all our eating adventures, took away everything all in one fell swoop as we got locked up.
Yeah, see, I had my kid right before early March, so I timed it perfectly, absolutely perfectly. There you go.
That was great planning. Way to think ahead and see into the future.
Yeah, you had to. You just had to. Are you considering all that? Are you like weighing all the options right now? I know Davis Bertans said he's not going to Orlando. Are you fully committed?
Mate, did you not just hear I've been locked up in a house with two young kids and a pregnant wife? I mean, come on.
You're going to be on the Matterhorn hourly.
I was like, wait, when are we leaving? Last week? Do you want me to make up some time? But no. In all honesty, I've been at home for 98 days now, but no one's counting. I'm not keeping count. So I'm just I've enjoyed being dad, and I've enjoyed being around, and I want to get back and do what I do, and that's play some basketball.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that your beard isn't longer, because like you're already like a long beard guy, but like the fact that like you definitely trimmed it during quarantine, like you definitely.
Yeah, that was the first week. I figured it wasn't going to be a short term thing, so I went over to my son and I said, "Do you want to shave Dad's beard?" And he was all for it. So he had the clippers in his hand and he cut as much off as he could. So,
that's just from like the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Two weeks of growth right here.
But, yeah.
It was one of those things. It was clean shaven. I figured, you know, don't want to give the virus somewhere to hang on to. So should trim it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, I mean, there's that video back when you were in Boston where you like, I think you hurt your hand or ankle and you just screamed and all of a sudden you were 100% healthy again. I feel like you could scream your beard back onto your face if you wanted to.
You know, definitely a little bit of self-talk, but I don't know if that works for growing hair as much. You know, I've probably got a few grays that I should try and self-talk about. That's all as of recent.
So I have two questions. I'm gonna say the last question first. Last question is, I'm gonna have you power rank the facial hair on this podcast, including yourself. The first question is, have you tried Just for Men? Because Steve is on the upper left here with the mustache, and he's a first time facial hair grower. And I think that the mustache is tremendous, but it's kind of like it was like Barry Bonds, where like Barry Bonds was great. But then when you take the juice, then you're just like a superhero. So we're going to have Steve put the Just for Men in there, and then we're going to really bring it to life. Have you ever tried dyeing the beard to just really make it like a monster?
I've never dyed it. This is all natural. You know, I haven't turned on a light and the sun's setting. So it's not really doing much for me here. But it usually pops pretty well in the sun. And my son's got red hair, so I definitely need to keep the red beard going, and it's all natural. So until it starts turning a lot more gray, I'm going to keep it as is. And if I'm going to rank, you know, my cousin, actually, he's grown a mustache over the last few months too. So he's all about the stash life.
Stash is great.
You know, it's one of those things. It's growing. You know, it's coming back into fashion, I'm guessing. But the full beard's got to win. So the two bottom rows here, it's going with the full beard for me.
You know, beard gang.
Then, hey, let's see if the top two rows will just go mustache from now on.
They're
off the goatee.
I rarely rocked this. Earlier today, I went to like shape it up and fucked up terribly. So I had to pivot to this. This was the best case. I can't go full bald. That's just, it looks like a mole rat with no hair.
I was going to say, so obviously I'm new to the facial hair game. I feel like I'm one of us now. We all have some form of it. You're obviously in first place. But what's it like? Beards seem to be, I remember the 2013 Red Sox, because this is a Red Sox podcast, even though we're also a Suns podcast, obviously. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2013 Red Sox were known for having beards. Baseball seems to be a beard thing. Sometimes hockey, you get the playoff beards. Basketball isn't really known as a beard thing. So is that uncomfortable playing with that, especially when you're banging with guys down low?
No, that's the last thought I have for it. The only reason I usually trim it is when I was in the colder weather to look down, zip up my jacket, and it would get caught. That was when I never need to trim it. But being down here in Arizona, that's not a problem I run into. So I should be able to grow it out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Now, you're not thinking of your beard while you're out there, but you have an uncanny ability to get savagely hit in the nuts for really no reason. What is it about you specifically that you're constantly just getting hit in the junk?
Well, he's 6'10".
Yeah, I mean,
it's the NBA, Jared. It's not the MLB.
I mean, like, dudes are throwing elbows trying to like hit someone in the face, and they end up hitting them in the dick. He's 6'10".
Verticality. It's one of those things where you got no protection. You just jump and you're going to take a hit. I'm used to it. As used to it as getting hit in the balls you can be. You know, you kind of. I've been told on numerous occasions you should wear a cup, but that's not something I think I could run around and slide around and still have it maintain its position. So I'm just going to let that be. And, you know, we get a few seconds every now and then. Either I stop a play or I get hit, I get called for a block, and then, you know, I still get a few more seconds after that to recover. So,
yeah. Who caught you the worst? Like, which one that stands out in your mind?
Oh, I don't know. They all blend together, and it's one of those things you try and block out and try not think about that too much after the point. So. Mm-hmm. Lucky I'll have three kids soon enough, so.
Right.
Doesn't
yeah.
matter from now on, right? I'm good. I can take as many hits as I need to.
True. Did you know that you're the same height as The Undertaker?
I do know. There's a few big wrestlers out there. And, you know, I was a fan of some of them. I'm even a lot smaller than some of those boys as well. So
yeah, there's a couple. But, I mean, I would say you probably – like, now they're, like, smaller guys. You probably dwarf all of them. Like, who's probably, like, the biggest wrestler that you grew up watching that you think you could take right now?
Right now that I could take, I wouldn't say I could take him, but I've always been a fan of the Kane choke slam. You know, that's kind
of
that's
a favorite guy.
That's literally my favorite wrestler of all time.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. So, you know, I imitated that on my brother and friends as much as we could, but it would always escalate from, you know, let's muck around and wrestle to full on swings, and yeah. We never escalated to the point of hitting in the face, but body shots were allowed if you got too aggressive.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, how big are your brothers?
My brother's 6'8", but, you know, my friends weren't as big. So it was a little bit more of, I don't know, it was kind of Kane versus, I don't know, a few Ric Flairs or something else like that running around, and we were all imitating. But yeah, I always tried to pull out the Kane choke slam.
That's unbelievable. That, we just connected on a level that I don't think I've ever connected with a podcast guest before in my life. I just got to know, what is it like playing for the Phoenix Suns? Because we're obviously big Phoenix Suns guys, and we've never actually been to a Phoenix Suns game before. But so you have to describe that.
We love them, though. We do love them.
Hey, you should come down. There's no social distancing out here, so you know.
I'm not coming down, Aaron.
Oh yes, there's a bit too much craziness out here right now. But you know, we're enjoying it. My wife and kids, they've been following me around, and we've been Boston, Detroit. You know, it's kind of bit colder and a bit chillier, so spending a year in Phoenix was a good thing for them. And we had outdoor living, we have a pool, so you know, they've been in that as much as they can throughout the entire year, and it's been a good change of pace for us. And you know, it's getting back to what my first years in, well, my years in Detroit were, you know, trying to get to that rebuild, and it's been fun being a part of it. And there's some really talented guys out here, but most of all, we have fun playing together, and that's what it's about right now. You know, we're trying to enjoy that, and we're all burning to get back out there and play together again.
Same. I know that we're definitely going to get to the fact that you guys are expected to go on a playoff run and win the NBA championship soon, but I did want to take a quick step back and talk about your days in Boston, because a lot of people that listen to this show probably loved you. You were a hero in Boston when you were on the Celtics. What was your favorite part of playing for the Seas? And when did you realize that the fans were a big fan of Aaron Baines?
My favorite part about playing for them, you know, anytime we had a comeback in the Garden, that was still get chills thinking about those moments and just how loud the crowd gets and how intelligent basketball-wise that crowd is. You know, there's loud stadiums, but Boston gets loud when they need to, and they understand what they're doing and why they're getting loud. And They'll hold you accountable as well. So as much as it is fun there, you don't want to have a bad effort out there as a group, because they'll let you know. So You know, that was definitely the fun times, and getting to that Eastern Conference Finals, that was a whole lot of fun. And it was unfortunate, you know, you hate having to go up against LeBron in a game seven, but
yeah, sure do. Yeah, yep, that was great.
He's pretty good at going out there and taking advantage in those situations. So yeah. Unfortunate for us, but you know, that was still one of the most fun runs I've had out playing with that group of guys. And yeah, so definitely good memories from that year. And you know, I'm trying to think anything specifically, no, but just knowing that when I'd get subbed out, that was, and the crowd would get loud, I was like, that's when I know that the crowd, I'm supported by all these people. And
yeah,
it was, I figured it was because, you know, I always put that effort out there no matter what game it 100%. Is. If it was against Brooklyn in the last game of the season where nothing really matters and we're locked into our position anyway, or if it's a game seven against LeBron, you know, I'm going out there and I'm going to play as hard as I can every single time, because that's the only way I can do it when I'm out there battling with my brothers on the floor.
I had this question as of like a couple of days ago, because there was obviously like the drama with Kyrie and the group chat, and he left the group chat. I'm not going to ask you about Kyrie. I am going to ask you, how popping is the Suns group chat? Like, that's got to be like, what are you guys talking about in there? Like, are you talking like different TV shows, movies, video games? Like, what are we talking about in there?
Mate, it was pretty consistent. Everyone was always mentioning stuff, but then Father's Day came around. A few of the boys said Happy Father's Day to Ricky and myself, and I just asked who's up next, and it's gone quiet. I don't know what's going on. So. I'm not sure if anyone's in that boat where they are going to be a dad, or if everyone's just trying to, you know, wait off. And
you get got let, a young team. That's a young team.
Very young team.
Bookman, Oubre, you got a young team.
Yeah, Devin Booker's going to watch his back. He was having girls making out with his car back at Kentucky, so he might have a couple floating around there that he doesn't even know about.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you know, on the norm, though, those guys are all talking about video games, and you know, that's not my style anymore. So, I'm more of a watcher than avid, I don't know, contributor to that group message for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Now, it wasn't all good times in Boston, and I hate to ask you about some of the negative parts, but have you properly like put Jason Tatum in a headlock for when he dunked on you in Brooklyn?
no, it's all good. You know, it's one of those things. It's fun going up against that. Which one was that?
It was when you guys were still teammates. That's it was like a tip slam. Look, you were jumping up, and he just came from behind you.
I should have turned around and thrown him up high, so it looked even better. To be honest, that's the one that should have happened. But you know, there's a lot of fun playing with that group of guys. You know, they were young and talented, and just trying to go out there and try and help those guys, because you've seen how they've developed over the course of this season as well. And it's fun to watch them. And, you know, I don't watch teams so much as I'm watching my mates when I'm watching other games, and just seeing how they've developed and what they've been able to add to their game, and how they come up clutch down at end of the game as well. It's pretty fun to see their development. And I know come Orlando, they're going to have a pretty deep run this year, so I'll be supporting them as well. And yeah, we won't really cross over against them anyway. I don't think we have a scheduled game against them yet. So,
oh, the finals.
You know, we got to get into the playoffs and get going from there. So, you know, it's been fun. And then over the course of the summer, we got to play each other a few times as well. You know, it's pretty much the Boston Celtics / USA team. And so we played them a few times, and it was a fun one. But they really slingshot themselves into the season, because they'd been playing, you know, four of them over the course of the summer. So it was fun to see their start, and they were able to maintain it and keep getting better throughout the season as well.
Did you watch The Last Dance?
Yeah, definitely. Everyone did. I mean, what else was there to do during that month or however long it was? So,
like, was it cool for you to were you watching that in real time? And then like how closely were you watching it in real time? Were you watching it in real time at all? It's like, what was like your main takeaway from like watching all 10 parts of it?
Yeah, I was definitely watching it in real time. You know, we had our I think we might have put the kids to bed a bit early on Sunday nights for a little while.
No, I mean like in the '90s, like the Jordan
in
era.
the '90s. Oh, yeah. Damn. Okay, I thought you meant no. In real time, I didn't know who Michael Jordan was, to be honest. I grew up in Australia, I grew up in a rural community, and if it wasn't rugby league, then you played soccer, and if it wasn't soccer, then what the hell were you doing? You weren't playing sports. So, you know, I thought basketball was the softest game around when I was growing up. And there was no chance I'd have been caught playing it. So I had no idea who Michael Jordan was at that point. And, you know, so I definitely missed out on a few things. But ever since I started playing basketball, everyone caught me up on, you know, we'd go to the video store and rent Michael Jordan videos and would watch them 5 times and then have to return it the next day because no one wanted to fork up any more money to keep it out. But, you know, so we definitely I caught up on that. But the during The Last Dance, the only thing I was really watching for was more Luke Longley highlights.
Yeah.
They didn't keep putting him in. So
you and everybody else, clearly.
Yeah. So who was your personal Michael Jordan, whether it be rugby or soccer?
Younger brother syndrome. It was my brother. He's the one I looked up to. He's the reason I started playing basketball. Anything he did, I thought I could do it better, but deep down, I was just admiring everything he was doing. So, you know, I was really just his biggest fan, and I wanted to try and emulate anything he did. So he was definitely my Michael Jordan when I was growing up. But in terms of rugby league, I liked a few guys. Darryl Halligan was one of them. He played for a team that I supported in Bulldogs when I first was growing up. But rugby league is what I grew up playing. Rugby league is what was on TV all weekend. And, you know, that was kind of, we were glued to that. And I didn't have time for basketball, so I didn't watch it in real time, The Last Dance. But, yeah, caught up since.
There you go.
Yeah, no, that's the way to go about it. Speaking of Australia, obviously, we've got to ask you about this. Tommy Heinsohn, somebody that's been with the Celtics for a long time. I think as a commentator, he can get a little bit much. I'd probably have a lot of people that disagree with me. But, I was going to say Coley would disagree.
That's everyone in Boston's uncle. That's my uncle as far as I'm concerned.
I have no issue with Tommy Heinsohn. There's definitely a lot of complaining. But he had an all-time line. I'm sure you heard it. I took a look at Beans in the shower, and he looks like all of Australia. He is really put together. So when did you hear his call? Because that was on SportsCenter within about 20 minutes after he said that. Like, when did you hear that call? Because I'm sure the guys were asking you about that.
Yeah, it was probably that night after I'd been interviewed, luckily enough. But at the same time, I take that from Tommy as, you know, he was just so energetic about what I do when I'm on the floor that it was, you know, he was giving me praise for what I do out there. And I didn't take it literally. So, you know, it's kind of... I'm not sure if he did.
That's a good thing to do.
He meant it literally. He very much meant it literally. I promise you.
But no, it's great having the respect of a guy who is has been through a lot with the Celtics and has seen so many of the players. To get some respect from him, that meant a lot to me. So, you know, I listened to more to the message than the words in that, and I just wanted to go out there and keep doing the right thing to have his respect.
I bet Bean's got a lot. He probably got a lot of Tommy points, right? You probably got a lot of Tommy points.
Yeah.
He's a Tommy point kind of guy.
I don't think anyone got more Tommy points than Walter McCarty, though.
Correct.
Walter!
And Dana Barros.
Yeah.
They have a leaderboard. Marcus is rising. You talk about someone rising up the Tommy point leader. Marcus Smart is skyrocketing up there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How excited were you? Because, like, big men, it might have been different for you since you came on the game a little bit later, but big men growing up, all they want to do is shoot threes. So how exciting was it when you finally got the green light? I feel like that was developed by you and Brad and the coaching staff. And then this year you hit 9 in a game. Who's that against?
Portland.
Portland. So, like, what was it like seeing that green light develop? How happy are you when you see people leaving you wide open? You know, this is just a flick of the wrist. Like, how was that entire process?
Yeah, I've been working on it ever since I left college, pretty much. So they put some handcuffs on me in college, thanks Tony Bennett. he's definitely a guard coach. I mean, in Virginia, he's been doing some great things, though, and he's got some talented guys. But when I was playing for him, there was no leaving that paint, so... you know, ever since finishing college, I've been working on my shot. And when I was in San Antonio, I had nothing but time to work on my shot. Then Detroit, Van Gundy didn't really want me shooting threes, but every practice I'd sit out there and finish my workouts shooting threes, and he kind of shook his head. But as soon as I got to Boston and Brad saw me shooting threes after a workout, he said, look, if you don't take that shot, then you're hurting our team. I was like, well, there we go. That's it.
And that's all you need to hear.
You know, I started shooting them, and then I stopped. And Danny's like, look, the three-point line's there for a reason. So I was like, all right. Got the green light from coach and the GM. Let's do it. So ever since then, I've never looked back. And being here in Phoenix as well, it's Monty's not the type of coach to tell you don't take that shot. He's going to get pissed if you do something wrong on defense or you screw up the play. But at the same time, if you're open, take the shot. And, you know, we have confidence amongst our teammates that anyone who takes that shot is going to hit it, because we see them go through the reps every single day in practice and in their workouts. So we know that everyone can take the shots that they're shooting. And it's great having that confidence from your own players behind you and your coach as well. So it definitely helps. And yeah, I enjoy it, because I never thought when I was playing in college that I'd be playing in the NBA, let alone shooting threes in the NBA, let alone being told to shoot threes in the NBA. So, you know, it's been a bit of a development, and yeah, I'm still trying to work on it and get better. Yeah, against Portland, I hit a step back, so you know, I'm still working on that as well.
And yeah, we need more jabs, one dribble. Yeah, that's what we need.
I better hit those ones, because if I don't, then Monty might turn into a coach that has something to say about shots. But
if you start hitting those, you're going to get cocky, even though you're not really a cocky player. If you start hitting those, it's game over. What's your biggest takeaway being on this Suns team, one of the youngest teams in the NBA? Like, what's your favorite part about, because you're what, 33, but you're like a veteran on this team, even though I look at you as a pretty young guy. What is your biggest takeaway about guys like Oubre, Booker, and Ayton?
Talented, a lot of talent. It's about just focusing it to do the little things every single game. You know, that's kind of what hurt us throughout the season. As much as We didn't have a full roster, except I think one, maybe two games we've had a full roster available. It's the fact that when we do those little things from the get-go, we can compete with anyone, and we've shown we can beat the best teams. But when we go out there and we get lackadaisical and we just run through the motions of things, that's when we're not very – that's when we can get beaten by anyone, and we've shown that as well. So, you know, that was what I was able to learn in San Antonio, was, you know, our second unit there really developed and grew, and were able to contribute massively when the starters were out. And it's about trying to instill in these guys, look, every team's going to naturally take some possessions off, but if we can capitalize and always compete as hard as we can, then we're going to be able to do it. And because we are a young team, we should have the legs to be able to do it the entire game. And that's what Monty's really good at as well. You know, he understands that we do need our rest, but he wants us to go out there and really put everything on the court every single game, because we have that ability, and those guys are all so physically gifted that they can do it for a long, long time and still play at a high level as well. So it's fun to be around guys like that. And, you know, I don't feel old, but getting older – in Australia, we have a saying, you know, you're only as old as the woman you feel, and my wife's only 27, so I'm still mid-20s to me. But
that was an incredible saying.
I love that. I love that.
But, yeah, so, you know, I still feel young, and I've been lucky that, yeah, my body is still in a really good position. And over the last 3 months, that's all I've been able to focus on, is getting my body even more right. So hopefully when we get out there down to Orlando, it pays off, and you know, we can keep playing well.
Yeah, as a guy that has experience in the NBA as a veteran now, do you believe that you have to have like a top five, top 10 player in the league to be considered a legitimate threat to win an NBA title? Or do you believe that you can assemble like a solid core and win with a solid core?
Yeah, you definitely want someone who you know is going to come down at the end of the game and take the shot. You got to have that threat. And We all know who it is on our team.
It's you. It's obviously you.
Step back, Baines. Yeah.
I mean, still a few more reps from that, but so you Booker, definitely need to have that player. And
what was it again? He put up 81.
No, that was Kobe. It was,
he put up 70.
Booker
70 on the Celtics.
In Boston.
I was there.
Yeah, Brad didn't let us forget about that one when he came into the building the next game. So, Brad actually said, look, that was his fault for that one, but still had a lot of respect for what Booker was able to do, go out there. And the next game, he was all over it defensively. It's kind of one of those things that, you definitely need that, but you have to have depth. And that's been shown last year. You know, Golden State had great players, but their depth hurt them at the end when guys went down. You know, you're playing against LeBron, you got to have multiple guys that can step in and do things and take some of that load. So I saw that what a deep team can do when I was in San Antonio and how much fun it was to be a part of that, because I don't know if you'd say at that point we had a top five player in the NBA, but everyone was just so good playing together, and we knew our roles and we knew what we needed to do to get the best shot for the team, that we were just so much more of a better team than anyone else we came up against. And it was from day one of training camp up until game five of the NBA finals. So, that was when I realized that, look, you can be a great team and you don't have to have these superstars on a team as well. So trying to find a happy middle ground to that, where you have great players and everyone around you is solid as well. That's what we're really trying to build here in Phoenix. And that's what's fun playing under Monty, because he understands what it is. You know, he's been through San Antonio. He's been around that program for a long time, but he's not trying to recreate San Antonio here. He's trying to do it his own way. And with James as well, they both have a goal in mind and they're working towards it in the right way, I think.
Talking about that Spurs team, being around a younger Kawhi, did you see this? Did anyone see this, what he's turned into, this machine, this monster of a human being?
There's actually a point where during the 2013-14 season, we were out to dinner. It was Corey, Joseph, Kawhi, and myself, and we were out at a Thai restaurant, and we were just getting some food, and Corey and I would just having a chat about something, and then we asked Kawhi, what do you think? And he's like, we're going to win this. And Corey and I kind of just sat, and just the way he'd said it, he's like, we've got this. And Corey and I kind of looked at each other and we're like, I believe him right now.
I don't know why, but I do.
It was just this look of, and just sincerity in his voice, the way he said it, that we're like, okay, like we're going to go out there. We were in Dallas at the point, and Dallas was actually the toughest round we had that year. Was they took us to game seven, and it was all hands on deck getting past them. But we knew because Kawhi was locked in that we were going to be right. So it was a fun time for us. And I definitely remember that one interaction just at a dinner out. And so I saw from that point onward the greatness that was in Kawhi, and I'm not surprised at anything he's done since. And I'm just enjoying being able to watch him and, you know, compete against him now.
I feel like you say you remember that one interaction. Were there many others? Because he doesn't open up to anyone else. So, like, behind the scenes, Kawhi, is he like a Bill Belichick type where he's telling jokes to guys on the team, or is he just serious business at all times?
No, he's not serious business at all times at all. He's definitely got a lot of side. And, you know, I think Danny Green was talking about it the other day. You know, he's definitely started opening up and being more vocal now. He's been playing for a few more years as well. So, that's the development of guys. But off court, you could definitely get him to laugh and joke around. And it was just one of those things where you got to come in with a bit of a wall when you're young and you have a lot of expectations on you. But now he's met some of those. I know he still has a lot more expectations of himself, but he's kind of letting his guard down a bit, and he's able to go out there and show people that, you know, he is another guy apart from just board man. So going out there and getting work.
Are you familiar with the, I don't know how online you are, but are you familiar with the Aaron Baines fan club Twitter account?
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, that one, I think you can't not be. He's commenting on everything. So
everything.
Anything that comes up on ESPN, there's some stat that he's bringing up that I was able to compete with them or against them at some point in history. So it's pretty entertaining for me to see. And you know, the biggest thing for me that I take away from that is it's positive. There's not too much positive banter out there on Twitter, especially about athletes right now. And
1,000%.
So, yeah, going and seeing some of that stuff. And the best thing about it is other people have tried to emulate what he's doing
right.
for other players as well. So it's building more positive interactions for fans with players. And it's a fun thing for me. And I'm honored that, you know, he wanted to take my name and put it out there and attribute all these things to it as well. So it's fun to see.
That account is all time stuff. We talked about the championship and the, you know, your second year in San Antonio. I'm sure it made it even sweeter coming off what happened the year before. Were you in Miami when first game 6 and 7?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We were all there. You know, that was a tough one. That locker room after.
I was going to ask like what the reaction was after the Ray Allen shot. Cause that's still an insane, I still can't believe that happened.
Yeah. You know, that was not a good one. We all have pretty vivid memories of that. That hurt game 6 and just game 7. Game 7 was even more hurtful. But like I said, playing LeBron in game 7 is not fun.
No,
yeah. You know, being a part of a few of those. We definitely learned our lesson from that. But the best thing was we carried it with us throughout the summer. So it was a short summer and we got right back into it. We were able to return most of the team and we didn't skip a beat. That was the most fun that I've had playing throughout an entire season was with that team, just because we were able to, we didn't go out there just to beat guys. We went out there just to play our style of game. And we ended up always crushing them by, you know, a large margin, which, you know, Golden State has been able to do that and they've done it. And it's, you see why they're doing it, because teams are so worried about one thing. With Golden State, they're worried about threes, so they're giving up all these layups. And for us, they were worried about Tony coming off and getting easy shots and Timmy getting easy shots, and those guys were facilitating for everyone else out there. And, you know, so just being a part of that and going out and playing with those guys, it was so much fun. And I still get, I think it was a few days ago, June 15th, so that was the 6-year anniversary of it, and people were tagging me, and I was still getting chills looking through those videos with it. So, as much as I get chills from that, I get shivers watching the previous seasons.
Yeah,
you know, I definitely remember Game 6 and Game 7 down there in Miami.
Now, did Greg Popovich instruct you specifically to go over to the air conditioning unit and break it with a pipe?
I mean, that was a good memory of that game as well. I didn't realize at the time though that the whole stadium was sold out of water either. So, you know, that became more of an issue down there in San Antonio. But I was actually wearing a suit that game and I was sweating everywhere.
That's the hottest game in like NBA history. Oh
yeah, it was. I'm not sure if I was in a suit that game or not, but either or, I know I was sweating and that was a hot one, but. It made it fun. So.
I'm a big accent guy. Love all accents. What's the one thing that you get tired of people asking you to say in your accent?
Anything. People say anything. I'll say anything, and there's not much accent on that one. So you know.
I love that.
I'll be very literal if people tell me to say anything. That's kind of, you know, especially now I'm a dad. That's, I love a good dad joke.
Yeah, what's your favorite dad joke now?
Favorite dad joke? I don't know. Someone tells me they're going to go jump in the shower. I say, that's a bit silly, a bit dangerous too. There's so many. There's a long list, mate. They're everywhere.
I mean, you're going to have to
run along with all of them
too now.
was it like a switch that flipped the second you had a kid? Like I'm now like it just is inherent, or were you always kind of just like a bit of a cunt, like pointing out like the way people talked?
Yeah, you know, it's a bit facetious of me. yeah. Try to use a different word there, but
I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know who's again, near.
But no, yeah, that's the kids are actually asleep, so I could say that. And, but the missus is somewhere around close, and for that sure would not fly. So
you never know.
I thought that was a big Australian word.
It is, but you don't refer to women as it. You can refer to your mates.
Well, I was talking to you.
Yeah, that's fine. I get it, but you know when we're on a computer and she doesn't see exactly who I'm talking to.
Right. For sure, so, you're right.
Know, yeah,
you're right. It's a fair point.
Yeah, so you know, I think a bit of dry humor is always good, and it's kind of when people come up and ask you how the air is up there or something like that, you kind of I heard that one a million times, and you can either take it well, or you can be a dick about it. And, you know, more often than not, I like being a dick route. So, yeah.
How many, more fun. I was having this conversation with someone the other day too. Cause I'm larger for most humans, not NBA large. And I've been told a lot of times, big tree fall hard. How many times have you heard that in your life?
Oh, nah, not too many, but that one would piss me off, that's for sure. you know, a bit of racism tucked into a tall joke, that's a good one. You know, that would piss me off a fair bit. So, yeah, not so good. Lucky I haven't heard that too many times.
Yeah, no. It's always someone like Jared's height.
What the fuck?
I'm just saying.
I'm like,
probably tell them to take their best swing at that point.
Yeah. Right. I'm 6'1" on skates.
Very, very clearly. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. The Phoenix Suns, I believe, have 10,000-1 odds to make the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken. Why will they not only make the playoffs, but have a chance at winning the finals?
I think we stayed in shape. I know we got to win, what is it, 6 of 8 games at least.
I just did the math real quick. Win them all, and you're going to be so good.
Yeah, so, you know, that's what we need to do. But I feel that most of our guys have stayed in really good shape. So it's kind of, to me, it's like a fever window. So that's what I'm excited about because, you know, Ricky and myself have gone through it for the however many years back to back to back. And so now it's kind of one of those things where you realize that you can make a pretty good run at doing something phenomenal because it's such a short time. And so there are these teams that are going to be going in there, right? And they know that they're in the playoffs and they're going to be building towards what they're doing in the playoffs. Whereas we've got 8 games to do what we can. And so for us, it's from game one, we have to go out there and play as hard as we can. And we have to be in the best shape. And from what I've seen of everyone around the team and all the boys working out, everyone's in really good shape, and so we just got to go out there and, you know, make the most of it for us. And yeah, like I said, anything can happen in a short fever window. So anything can happen in an 8-game window as well. And hopefully we're all firing on all cylinders at that point, and we can make a pretty good run at it, give ourselves a chance. I think we have a better chance this way than we did if we continued the season as it was in a regular pattern anyway. So, you know, it's a positive for us.
People
around the world saying silver kind of, you know, made this an easy path for the Suns. So hopefully you guys capitalize based off of that. Yeah.
Don't let us win 8. That's all I'm saying. Don't let us
that's
win
it.
8.
That's the phrase.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Why not us?
Why not us?
Why not us?
We get to go out there and play. That's what I'm excited about. Like I said, it's been so long, and I haven't, since I started playing basketball, I've never gone this long without a sanctioned 5-on-5 game. I mean, every summer I get to play for the national team, and so we're playing against other FIBA competition, and so it's weird having had 3 months off of not playing an actual refereed game. So yeah, or any game. I was shooting on outdoor courts for six weeks. So.
Do you have concerns about the bubble setup? I know there's been a lot of feedback from players. Not at all. Okay. I thought you were serious. Then you gave the look.
He was dead serious. You heard the man.
Yeah. No problems at all. Yeah, there are definite concerns, but you know, as much as I'm concerned, I'm eager to play. So
yeah,
the best thing for me is that my family won't be there. So
right,
you know, if they had to be around, I would definitely be worried. But yeah, they will not be around. So for me, I know I'll quarantine away from them for 2 weeks before I see them afterwards. And, yeah, so for me, I'm excited to get out there. I'm sure there's going to be some problems that will come up. You know, how could, what is it, 18,000 people being quarantined, and so how many thousand people are trying to bring in there? How can something not come up as an issue? I mean,
I bet it goes smoothly, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's Florida. Sure. Nothing goes wrong in Florida.
Yeah, Florida's great.
I mean, Orange County, where they're at, they only have 1,000 cases.
Yeah. Probably won't even see those people.
The average cases per day are going up, like right now.
Yeah. Now's the time for them to go up. There's only so many people, and eventually it'll be too many people. It can only go down.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, I'm excited to see what this bubble is. I mean, I'm excited to see what the ring is as well, to be honest. I know you guys have read about that. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's going to be an interesting one to see how valid that really is. But hopefully it does stop some of the spread. I mean, you know, if it gets in there. But I don't know why they're calling it a bubble situation. Still, I mean, the workers don't have to be in the same area. Don't have to stay there.
I know they can go home, so it's the bubble's kind of irrelevant. But
yeah, I mean,
it'll be good, man.
I really hope that there's no one's deeply affected by it. That would be a horrible thing. I mean, we've seen how many people it's affected around the country and throughout the world, and it's disheartening to see what's happening here in the States right now. So. As much as we joke about it, I really hope that what we are doing is the right thing for everyone's health as well as the future of the game. Because as much as I care about other people and everyone staying safe, I care a lot about basketball. It's been so good to me and my family as well. So I know we need to go out there and do something to continue basketball and help basketball as well. And that's why I'm going out there and finishing the season as best we can. But, yeah, it's, when you're weighing one against the other, it's a tough thing to do. And so that's why I'm happy that there are much smarter people than me that have had to devise this scheme and the protocols. And I'm just hoping that it works out for the best and everyone stays healthy.
Perfect. Yeah. There's no easier or fun answer to this, sadly.
There's not. Hopefully the basketball is good though. You know, that would make everything else a lot better. And, I haven't really put too much thought into what I'll actually be doing while I'm out there. I mean, they say you can do some things, but I'll still try and practice social distancing as much as I can. I mean, yeah, I don't know why they want to have a DJ there for.
I was going to say, what about like the fake crowd noise and all that? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Hopefully we don't hear that in game. I've been watching a bit of the NRL from Australia, so the National Rugby League down there. It's off-putting to me to hear the crowd, the fake crowd noise put into the game. I don't like it. Uh-huh. I'm more of a purist, I think, and I'd love to just hear the guys, how they're playing and what it's like when they're just out there competing. But
you know, I think that's exactly what the NBA is afraid of.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
that is true.
They're afraid of hearing Melo when he gets a rebound.
Yeah, they're afraid of a guy like KG.
Yeah.
I think, by the way, though, my security system, when I walk in the door, it automatically plays a standing ovation. And I'll tell you, it is very uplifting. So, I mean, if you have fake crowd noise, it feels just as good as the real thing.
I mean, it depends how you're walking in the door, though, mate.
That's like what it comes down to.
I don't know. There's been a few. When you become a dad, tell me that. Because if your kid's just taking a crap in the car and you come into a stereo station,
I'm glad you brought it up.
Keep doing it.
I've been in the market to be a dad for like the last like 3 months or so. Like I'm trying. I'm firing off on all cylinders. Like we're trying to get this dad thing going. And you know what? I do deserve a standing ovation when I walk in the door, especially if I am a dad. So I don't know. I'll let you know. I'll message you the day that I become a father, and we'll talk dad stuff.
Is it just one door that does it every time you open and close it?
It's the front door. Yeah, it's the front door.
Each time you open and close it?
Every single time.
Oh my goodness! You don't. Yeah. When? Okay. Let me know when you're a dad, please. I will pay you.
I will. The
kids start opening and closing doors because that's all they would do. If we had that, that would be the most infuriating thing. Oh, I could not handle that.
Every
our door beeps right now. It beeps, and I'm like, I'm going to turn off the beeping because you guys keep going in and out. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I am a grumpy old man. That's what the last 3 months have shown me. I don't want to continue to be that. So.
No, embrace it. Go all the way into it.
No, I feel my wife told me the other day, she's like, look, you're soon enough going to be sitting out on a rocker telling the kids to get off the front grass. He's like, okay, I've got to take a step back and relax a little bit. So.
Love that. Cool. I mean, we appreciate you taking this much time. Obviously, you know, it's quarantine and you're sitting around, but I'm sure you've got stuff. You're a dad, and try. I don't know yet. But I know that dad's got dad stuff to do.
We're good. Hey, anytime you guys want to chat when we're down in the bubble, I'll have plenty of time. So.
We're gonna need live Suns updates from inside the bubble. You're basically our Suns correspondent now.
That's fine. I'm available. You know, we got some time, so just let me know when, and I'll try and find a social distanced place.
That's perfect. Safe.
That's perfect. That's our correspondent from Orlando, Aaron Baines.
Here we go. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. And I'll turn on the light from the get-go as well.
Hell yeah. And best of luck, too. I mean, don't let us win eight. Do not let us win eight.
Why not us? Why not us?
Listen, don't let the Suns get hot.
Don't let the Suns get hot. You don't want to see us win eight.
I mean, yeah, don't guard us on the three-point line either. People want to see points. People want to see points on the board.
So. Yeah.
Let us do that. Let us go out there shooting.
Thank you so much. Fair. We really appreciate it.
That was awesome. Thanks. Thanks, man. That was great. That was great. Thank you.
Take it easy.
You too. All right. Big shout out to Aaron Baines for coming on. Sogo, Suns out, guns out. Also, random thought. Do you think it was weird that Dalton Furbush wasn't on the 60 man?
A little bit. Yeah. Especially considering he's like the best closer of all time that just needs to get a chance. He just needs to get a chance.
Mm-hmm. For anyone that wasn't following Rocket, Paper, Scissors, the stipulation with Dalton Furbush, if I beat him, which I did, was that I get to pick his walkout music.
Do you think that's why? Do you think that rubbed the music guy the wrong way? And he's like, don't put this guy on the roster. I don't want Jared picking this song. That's probably why he's not on the roster. So it's your fault.
It's his name is TJ, and he's a fan. He's a friend.
Okay. I just wanted to throw that option out there. But, we need Furbush. I mean, we've been on Dalton Furbush from the jump.
Yeah.
Like, so we need him to make it to the big so everyone can flip out. And then I just love to see – because some of the guys in the bullpen will probably be like, why do people keep yelling Furbush? What?
I think they know.
I think they know, but I would love for the guy that doesn't know, like Yairo you know, Domingo Falaro, you know, those guys.
Yeah, those guys, they're going to be confused probably because they weren't around back in 2018 when Dalton Furbush was born. But I feel like if you're just recently drafted and you already have a fire nickname and you just got to make it, that's half the battle. I mean, we talked to Michael Chavis about it in his interview. He was like, when I got the nickname the Ice Horse, that's when I felt welcomed and I started to feel comfortable. Like Section 10 nicknames make players play better. That's a fact.
It's a fact. It's a proven fact. You see how far he hits the ball?
He hits the ball so far. And fucking players themselves have admitted, like, you think fucking, like, Brock Holt didn't have a nickname his whole career. He gets the nickname Big Cock Brock and then becomes the first player to hit for the cycle in the postseason. Hello?
Not a coincidence.
Not a coincidence. You got fucking JD Martinez, and everyone's like, just dingers, just dingers, just dingers. It stands for, do you get it? Just.
I love the do you get it. Right, because he hits dingers. Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get it?
Do you get it?
Do you get it?
But here's the thing, Steve. He doesn't hit just dingers.
He hits the ball all over the place.
He fucking hits everything.
Yeah, if singles, his name was like
doubles.
JD like Holtz, then just hits, whatever. Then you could do that. Like he just gets hits. But
yeah.
Just dingers.
Just dingers. Just dingers. It stands for just dingers.
Oh, he did it again. Another dinger. Just dingers.
That's not it. It's not what it is. So that's out.
You do get it though, right? Because it's JD.
Yeah, his name's JD Martinez.
Yeah, so that's why they say it.
Right. First of all, it's Julio Daniel.
No, I know, but it's like JD, so go just dingers.
Yeah, we call him just dingers, dude. Dude, just dingers, bah! No, it's not. That's not it. So he comes in here and it's Jumbo Dong. Because, you know.
Wait, how many nicknames have you given out that have to do with a penis?
A lot. A lot. Big Dick Stanton, Jumbo Dong, Big Cock Brock.
There's got to be another one we're missing.
I don't know. I got to think about it. But
Big Balls Yairo. You gave
Bobby Big Balls.
Bobby Big Balls Pointer. Bobby, every time I hear the name Bobby Point, I'm like, oh yeah, that guy. Is he still on the team?
No, I don't think so. Bobby Big Nuts.
Bobby Big Nuts. Mm-hmm. That one time maybe he got out of a jam.
It really was one time.
They're going to talk about that for years. Anytime Pointer came in, I'm like, all right, it's a good time to turn the TV off. Like, yeah, come on now.
No,
he was acting like big. I remember he was
Big Balls.
He was kind of acting big time at Winter Weekend too. I'm like, dude, don't.
Yeah,
don't.
I was like,
don't do that.
People, yeah. Let me see that. Fucking, I still have the text messages with him. Bobby Pointer.
Big.
He never answered.
I remember that the only text you sent was just Big Balls, and then you sent it again with the period.
Yeah.
As if Pointer was upset because you didn't use the right punctuation. Like, dude, put a period after my nickname, dude.
Yeah. I mean,
Big Balls period. you gotta send different versions of that now. Just Big Balls.
look at the timestamp from the first one. That's the day of the parade. It's October 31st at 3:30 p.m. So I was very intoxicated at the time of this text message.
Yeah, the first one is definitely like, hey, big balls. Second one is like, big balls, big balls.
Well, no,
answer me.
The second one is big period balls period. So it's
there are two periods. I only saw the second period.
Yeah.
Man, this all reminds me of Dark and Stormy's.
Yeah, it does.
Gosling's is the official rum of the Red Sox, so they decided they had to go all in as the official rum of Section 10 this year, too. Gosling's rum is the spirit of Bermuda, and the Dark and Stormy is Bermuda's national drink. Gosling's has been the official rum of the Boston Red Sox for 10 years. You can enjoy an authentic Dark and Stormy at all Fenway Park bars. By the way, Bleacher Bar is back up and open.
Is it really?
Yeah, back in service. So get a Dark and Stormy at Bleacher Bar and feel like the world's not ending. The Gosling's family spent years perfecting the perfect blend of ginger beer before bringing it to market. Today, Gosling's Stormy Ginger Beer is the number one selling ginger beer in the United States of America, Jared, which is this country. It is canned by Polar Beverage in Worcester, Mass. Kid, Dark and Stormy is one of the only trademark cocktails in the world, and the only way to make an authentic Dark and Stormy is with Gosling's Black Seal Rum and Ginger Beer. The name was said to have originated around the 1920s when an old fisherman observed that the drink was the color of a cloud only a fool or dead man would sail under, probably followed by barman. I'll have another Dark and Stormy. We made it even easier to make when we introduced our ready-to-drink Dark and Stormy canned cocktail a few years ago. Love this thing. Absolutely love this thing. It's 100% authentic with no malt base. It's just Gosling's Black Seal Rum and Gosling Stormy Ginger Beer, ready to go. Find it in your local liquor store's fridge or pre-mixed cocktail aisle. Gosling's just introduced a limited release Red Sox edition Fenway Green Dark and Stormy can. available at Fenway once we finally get back there, which might actually happen this year. On Drizzly, enter code Goslings at checkout to order your dark and stormy supplies and take $5 off your first Drizzly order with code Goslings.
I'm going to be drinking some dark and stormies for the 4th of July, baby.
Absolutely. That's literally only like dark and stormies, and you don't want to do these together. But the only thing I've been drinking all summer is Coors Lights and Dark and Stormies. You don't want to like normally mix the rum with the beer, but but yeah, just both. I just love that they sponsor the show because I genuinely love both drinks.
Yeah,
like I really. If you want to chill, Coors Light.
Coors Light.
You want to dance a little bit? Dark and Stormy.
Oh, you're gonna be dancing?
Well, not. I'm just hypothetically.
Are you dancing?
There's nowhere to dance. You know I would, but there's like, where am I dancing right
I
now?
I do know that you would. That was like one of my first Steve experiences ever. Steve came out with us for the first time. We were in the baseball tavern basement, RIP.
That's right. Mutt was down there.
Yeah, Mutt was there. Stevie fucking cuts a lot. It was just down there cutting up the carpet, dancing.
You're probably looking at Pete like, oh, man, what's up with this guy?
I don't know what's going on with this guy, but...
But I got a feeling we're going to be doing a podcast for at least 5 years.
Yeah, he cuts the audio. He cuts the dance floor up. It was impressive. You haven't done that in a long time, though. Like, I feel like that's...
Granted, I definitely had a couple CL smoothies in me, but yeah. Coors Light, celebrate responsibly. I was celebrating responsibly. But no, I think Baseball Tavern, the more we went there and the more Section 10 people started showing up, that's what it kind of became, which I liked, is that we were yucking it up with Section 10 listeners. And then instead of, you know, maybe being downstairs, breakdancing. So that was kind of the way that elevated.
That's a good point. Because like back then, I mean, we
were like a couple months in the show. So we're just like being dickheads.
Episode 15. So it's like, all right, who cares?
If someone recognizes, it's like, whoa, that was cool.
Yeah.
But no, that was I miss Baseball Tavern, man. Oh man, we can't go down. I'm just gonna start getting emotional.
Did they knock it down yet? Do you know?
No, I walked by it a couple weeks ago, and it's still in place. Let's just break in, right? Let's break in.
Yeah, let's just fucking get in there.
Just drink by ourselves.
Yeah, just have some cold beers. I bet you could probably get in there.
Oh, we could. What are your thoughts on the summer camp thing?
I hate it.
Oh, just like the phrase?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have fun at summer camp? There was a baseball camp I used to go to, South Shore Baseball Club, which is the absolute best. That was my favorite part of existence. But then there's some other summer camps where I'm like, just mom, pick me up. Like, this is the worst.
Yeah, I've done a couple summer camps. There was one that I did at my old middle school that was pretty cool. I enjoyed that. Made some friends there. I probably was like friendlier with the counselors than I was with like the fucking losers that went to camp. I wasn't really that's how you gain control. It's like that's like basically like going to prison but then getting in with the guards instead of the other inmates. Like that's what I did. I was in with the guards, so it was like, all right, like now I can fucking run, I can do whatever I want here. That's what I did at summer camp. But also I went to Dave Chiazzo's baseball camp, which was great because he was a pitching coach. I probably went there a little bit too long. Like it was one of those things where it's like
100% same with the baseball camp where I'm like, this is all I know. This is my summer every summer. So I'm just going to keep coming. I'm not going to leave. Yeah. Like, what's his face and Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. It was basically like you start on like the small diamond and then as you get older, they move you to the big diamond. But, you go for years and years and then you look up and you're like, fuck, I'm like the oldest dude here. All right, cool. All right, I'll see you next summer.
We do. I remember they had something like a new thing every time at lunch. Like it was, one was like a home run derby, one with like the coaches, one was trivia. And I'm just looking around and I'm just like, I'm like, Ted Williams. And I look around. I'm like, it's like a bunch of like 6 year olds around me. Like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. But no, it was,
But you get to kind of run the camp, though. To your point, when you're one of the older kids at camp and you still maybe barely fit the age max, you are like a counselor. Like you like run that place. You know how that entire thing goes.
You're the veteran in the clubhouse. They're like, this
exactly,
is the guy.
And the coaches respect you too because they're like, he knows what he's doing. I don't have to.
Yeah, like this guy's been coming to camp for like 8 years, and
this guy's in his mid 20s, but he knows what he's doing. It's a little weird. He's playing with teenagers, but he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's very careful. He's safe. I mean, he's safe. He's not going to be like cleating anybody. He's not going to spike someone. It's, you know, it is what it is. But it's like, you know,
his oldest teammate's 12, but like he's again, he's like the coach. He's like a player coach.
Yeah, he's in the batter's box spitting a wad of tobacco on the plate, hitting bombs off an 11-year-old. But it's fine. Like it's
talking about some chick he just smashed last night. But no, it's fine.
Yeah, he's fucking chicks in his truck during lunch break. But you know, it's fine. Like because he knows what he's doing up there.
He's not irresponsible, all right? He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. I mean, if you're still rolling up to summer camp and you're the one that's able to drive, it's like, all right, dude.
if you're driving yourself to summer camp, figure it out.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Dude. You got some changes to make.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you know, it's sometimes it's tough to let go of summer camp. Like it becomes a part of who you are.
Especially baseball camp, like that's summer is so much fun as a kid, especially when you're going to a camp that you love. But the thing that sucks is like summer reading. Like, why did summer reading ever get existed? Like, hey, you want to enjoy summer? Nope, you got to read these books, bitch.
Did you ever actually read a summer reading book?
Nah, I there was a baseball one I read, but that was about it. I forget what it was, but it was actually pretty good. But the worst about reading is that there's not enough pictures.
Yeah.
Like I'll read a whole chapter and I'm like, I have no idea what I just read.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I ever read a book for summer reading ever.
Yeah. With Spark Notes. Shout out Spark Notes and Wikipedia, man. Mm-hmm. Like we ain't getting these degrees without those guys.
Oh yeah. No chance. Yeah. Spark Notes was huge. The internet was huge. But yeah, I think I maybe read like A Child Called It. Was the only book I ever read that was like a summer reading book.
I remember that.
Ever read for like summer reading. All the other ones, I just like faked it or just didn't try.
No, same. I mean, once you get like, if you get over the hurdle of whatever the essay is you had to write or like the, all right, class, let's sit around and talk about our summer reading. Once you got past that, you're like, all right, I made it through summer. Like I found a way to make it through summer reading. But what was your, so summer camp with this baseball thing, with this Red Sox thing, you just don't like the sound of it or like what's really grinding your gears?
It's summer camp's supposed to be fun. Like we're
only but this is fun. Baseball's back.
Nah.
Okay, that'll do it for the week. emptying the bench real quick.
But think about it. Like it's not fun. Like people are showing up getting fucking tested for fucking diseases and viruses and.
No, I know. The idea of the Red Sox being back at Fenway today definitely brings me joy. That's a step in the right direction, but we still have a long way to go.
We still have a long way to go. And I feel like some people are thinking like, we're not even going to get there.
No, I know. But you know what? I do think we're going to get there. I think the Red Sox are going to have a smooth summer camp. They're going to start playing those ball games and they're going to start winning those ball games.
You think so?
I think so.
How many do you think they're going to win? What's the over under in Vegas?
31.5.
31.5.
Yeah, we talked about this. It's like
31.5.
If you don't hit the over, you're the biggest idiot on the planet.
I'm taking that over.
Yeah, I thought you were going to take the under. Damn.
You thought I was going to take the under on that?
Nah, I'm just kidding. But you're just, the
Steve,
quick.
Steve. 31 and a half?
Yeah, over.
You're going to take the over on that?
I will go over.
31.5.
Gundy ahead, right?
Yeah.
Sox in the playoffs?
The Red Sox don't make the fucking playoffs this year. You can blow my brains out. They're making it.
Empty the bench real quick. Section 10.
The Red Sox are making the playoffs this year.
Yep.
Do you believe me?
I do.
Do you actually think that?
Yeah, wild card.
You don't think they can win the division?
They can win the division. Yeah. Right now. And this might change next week. I got him in the wild card game. Finally, the one wild card game they'll be in is going to be no one there.
Nobody.
Because like we would have definitely done a show and then gone to the game. Like,
who's to say that there won't be fans in the stands by then?
Hey, you never know, Jared. Before we head out, support for this podcast and the following message comes from ServPro. ServPro Clean is a new defensive cleaning program that ServPro professionals are trained in adhering to the highest cleaning and sanitation standards. So no matter what happens, the number one choice in cleanup and restoration is here to help 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until life is back to normal in the communities we call home. 1-800-SERVPRO and SERVPRO.com will get you handled. It's the company that cleaned Dave's apartment, Jared, after the unboxing video. So that was an absolute doozy. SERVPRO is the number one choice in cleanup and restoration. Again, 1-800-SERVPRO and SERVPRO.com to get yourself handled, get yourself clean, get everything in your place all dandy. SERVPRO. Empty the bench real quick. Section 10 crop tops are taking over the universe, dude. Ooh. If you don't have one, even and somebody asked me if they're unisex, dude. If you're a dude,
if you're a dude, you want to fucking show off your abs.
Yeah. Let me tell you what I'm not wearing right now is something showing off my stomach. But yeah, definitely get a crop top. They're taking over the universe. store.barstoolsports.com. Shout out to all the ladies that have crop tops. They're dominating.
A lot of ladies been buying them.
Yeah, yeah. Ladies love crop tops.
Ladies love crop tops. store.barstoolsports.com. Yeah, the Section 10 crop tops. Girls are wearing them.
They're wearing them.
Yeah, I think girls are buying them and they're wearing them.
Typically, that's because it makes sense, right? You buy it to wear it.
Right. Yeah. Girls are buying them. They are wearing them. I you know what? I was talking about being able to still go to Fenway. I don't think that's going to happen for me.
All right, we'll see you next week.
I think they're going to take anyone that has like press passes. They're actually going to be in the fucking press box.
Wait, what? That doesn't make any sense.
That's what I said. I was like, why? Why wouldn't you just put the media in the grandstand? And like, they still have like health concerns over that. And I was like, well, how are you gonna put fucking people in the press box? They're like gonna be literally on top of each other.
How does the press box make any sense over being outside?
It doesn't. That's why I was like, I don't know. I'm not fucking doing that. No chance.
Imagine being anywhere near Pete Abe right now.
Like, no. You'll catch more than fucking whatever the fuck this thing's called. What is it called again? Corona.
Wouldn't want to cut you.
Maybe he'll say some Kyrie stuff.
Maybe.
Be like, he definitely doesn't give a fuck.
I'm going to ask him about the Suns group text. Like, that thing's going to be popping.
I could see him being the kind of guy who just doesn't have a phone.
Yeah. He's from New Zealand?
Australia.
He's born in New Zealand, but he's Australian. Calling my bitch, tell her bring me that noggin. Brain real good, she a scholar. I like a thing with low mileage, good brain with no college. Call me the baby, no Tyler. I'm real creative and stylish. F in my denim. I send that hit, make him spin him. And I just flew back from L.A. on the jet yesterday. I go back and forth like I play tennis. I fuck with your hoe, yeah, I feel for it. Still on the billboard, the number one song in U.K. And now they got so fucking rich, all these hoes on my dick. I said, don't give a fuck what you say. She eat it like a Pac-Man, nigga. Whoop a nigga like I'm Batman, nigga. I just put up in the Batmobile. The reason I ain't fucking with these rap-ass niggas, cause they cap-ass niggas and they raps ain't real. Believe me, you wanna keep your life. Take it easy. I'm rocking water diamonds, need a squeegee. These niggas water down, they drinking Fiji. My whip is orange and brown like I'm in Cleveland. My bitch is mellow yellow like a soda. These niggas title tellers, I'm a soldier. Hey, somebody tell them niggas that it's over. You know it's baby, nigga. What's poppin'? Brand new whip, just hopped in.
I got options. I can pass that bitch like Stockton. I'm in that scat and I caught her. I'm out here with somebody's daughter. She calling me daddy. I'm somebody's father. I gotta go diss it. I went, I go kiss it. I put my lips on it like somebody watered it. I'm in the glacier. The card in the wallet. She put up to fuck me, but nobody caught it. She told me that she wasn't feeling my music. I fucked it. She told me it's nobody harder. And I'm with the G-Ski. I need that shit for the free ski. We are not buying no pussy. You selling on Peachtree. It's so much work on my celly. I had to go tell all my bitches. Email it to reach me. All in my DM. I follow your BM. She played with the Krosky. We used to fuck on the Lowski. She used to lie in my bed and go lie to your face and say I'm just a broski. Nigga, you knows me. You ain't believe it. You wanted to toast me. I had it standing as long as a ruler in case you was cooling and wanna approach me. Dropped up and take her, came back in the cullin and she wanna fuck again. I want that tongue again. Stuck it so deep that she cough up a lung again. Five star bitches, they on the run again. Run again. Running in diamonds, they illuminating the way that I come again. I just put so many pennies on the watch and I don't never got a stun again. Nigga, Latour.
What's poppin'?
Canada.
Brand new whip, just hopped in. I got options. I can pass that bitch like Stockton. Just joshing. I'm spending this holiday locked in. My body got rid of them toxins. Sports in the top 10.
What's brackin'? Brand new whip, new mansion. Brand new tips, new dances. Same old dick, new magnum. Same old shit, new maggots. Same old throne, new dragons. Same old strong, new ashes. I can pass that bitch like magic. Yeah, I ain't capping, I'm lit, I'm active. Yeah, like 500 bitch like Paxton. Yeah, I'm drowning this milk like Applejack. I sell a bitch dream, put tax on that. Look, slamming that bitch, that slap a slap. Oh, bomb press roll, that's black on black. Yeah, 99 problems, the bitch ain't one yet. Numbers don't lie, that's the aftermath. Yeah, what's poppin'? Brand new phone, just dropped it. Fuck it, I got options. I bust down a couple Apple Watches. Hello. I can put the ball in the end zone, put a bad bitch in her friend zone. Ooh, ooh, I'ma bust all in the skin tone. I be matched up as Ken Jeong. Ooh, ooh, dark hair bitch like she go. I like I'm blind like me though. Yeah. Although I'm dying called Leon. I was still slide like Neo. Keep all around my pre-roll. Yeah. New Orleans nigga, I'm Creole. She say, babe, does that hurt when I deep throw? I just better not for your T-ho.
What's poppin'? Brand new whip, just hopped in. I got options. I can pass that bitch like Stockton. Just joshing. I'm spending this holiday locked in. My body got rid of them toxins. Sports in the top 10.